This morning, as we were coming to church, we were talking about what Preacher Lastly always said, you know, 19 drops of rain, keep 20 Baptists at home. Well, maybe we've got a few Baptists that stayed at home this morning. I don't know. We're a little short in here this morning, but they could be off in another class over here. So it's good to see you this morning, and let's go ahead and get right into this. Today is the fifth Sunday, and we will have the others offering today. And the preacher and Mrs. Herdman is having a new and prospective members class at 10 a.m., which is now over in the Family Life Center. And then the pastor is going to have a reception for the graduating seniors and families after the PM service in the Home Builders. We also have Wisdom with us, the missionary, I can't pronounce it anyway, and Alejandra Villafranca from Alaska. We have the missionaries from Alaska this morning, so I apologize for not being able to pronounce the names. The cancer meeting will also be meeting at 7:30 tonight in the chapel, and the nursing home ministry will be meeting at 7:30 in the Berean classroom. So if you're a part of any one of those, please remember that for tonight. Okay, we're still remembering Brother Bob Daniels. He's at home, and hopefully he's building some strength so that he can take this medicine, see if he can take this medicine. Hopefully it will work for him. And we're praying for him. You keep him in your prayers. And then understand that Miss Judy Whitson also started her treatments on this past Thursday. So remember both of those in prayer, if you would. And then Mickey Archer is still at home, but he's doing okay. We pray for him. We ask that God would touch him and help him during this time. So is there any prayer request in here this morning that you'd like to have us pray for? Has anybody got a prayer request over here? Okay, in the center section. Yes, ma'am, Miss Nancy. Okay. All right. Okay. So Miss Sheila Daniels is on leave from her job without pay, and we're just sharing that. She's not asking for anything, but we're sharing that. So if God leads you in a special way, please remember Miss Sheila. Okay, over here on my right. Yes. Yes, Anna Spinard, she's been in the hospital, and she's having a battle. So we'd like to keep her in our prayers. Also, a few weeks ago, we asked prayer for Jackson Broadwater. He's the young man that had a motorcycle wreck and was in the hospital, and he's been unconscious since that wreck, which has been over 6 weeks now. And they are supposed to move him to Atlanta. And would y'all keep him in your prayers? Yes, ma'am.
Did you ask for prayer list?
Yes.
I can't hear you.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you ask for prayer list?
Yes. Do you have prayer request?
My daughter had a heart attack the other day, and she was in the hospital. We took her home yesterday, so I didn't.
Okay. Okay, but she is home now.
Her name's Debbie.
Okay. And her last name? What's her last name, Miss Cersei? Debbie who? Miss Debbie?
Debbie.
Last name. What's her?
Yes, what? She
Okay, all right. It does. Yes, ma'am. If you have hearing aids, it makes it a little hard. Yeah. Okay, so let's remember Miss Cersei's daughter with a heart attack, but she's home. Okay, so Miss Teresa is still needing prayer about how to care for her mother, and so her mother is at a point of confusion and things like that that's going on with her, and so it's very hard. Teresa's over here and having to go to North Carolina and back, and I know that's very difficult, so y'all remember her. And I'm looking at Miss Kim. Did you get your surgery?
Tomorrow.
Okay. Okay. So, okay. We'll be praying for you tomorrow too, okay? All right. Anyone else? We need to remember Brother Steve as he comes to teach this morning, and that God will give him the direction and the help that he needs. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll remember these requests. Father, as we come this morning, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. Lord, we thank you for the precious blood that was shed on Calvary for our sin, dear God. Thank you for that blessed hope. And Lord, we come this morning remembering these that have been mentioned this morning. And Lord, I would be at a very bad situation to try to remember all the names. And Lord, we have a prayer list that we give out. And God, you know every name on that list. And Father, you know their needs. And Lord, I would ask you this morning that you meet and deal with each one according to your will. And Father, we do pray for these that are pertinent to right now. Miss Cersei's daughter, Debbie, who's had this heart attack. And Lord, she's home, but we pray you'll help her to recuperate from that. God, we pray for Kim Brummett, who's going to have surgery tomorrow on her eyes, Lord. Please give her a calmness, Lord, a peace, as she goes to that, Lord, and help her to be calm during that and peaceful about what they're going to do, Lord. And may you just give her strength as she faces that. Lord, we have others, dear Lord, on our list that's been there a long time. We remember Bob Daniels, Lord, and Sheila. We remember the trial that Judy Whitson's going through, Lord. We did see Karen Bird back in the church this morning, Lord. She says she's doing well. We pray for her. God, we pray for others, Lord, many others, Lord, that are sick. Remember Mickey. And God, just pray this morning that you'll give us good class time. Father, that you'll bless our pastor as he comes today to preach to us. And Lord, even now as he's holding this class, we pray you'll be with him over there. Lord, thank you again for loving us, and we want to give you glory and honor to your name. But we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lay that mic right there. I guess everyone got one of these sheets of paper. It's a little hard to see. There's so much data there. I wanted to look at that just a minute to get us started on track where we're at as we've been traveling through the timeline of what Christ is going to do. Of course, we can see there in the very middle, you can see at the top there, the judgment seat of Christ. And that goes on during the Great Tribulation period. You can see right there in the very middle, kind of, in the page. So where we've went so far is we've talked about the judgment seat of Christ some weeks ago. And then here a week or so ago, we talked about the marriage feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we got finished with that, and now we're getting ready to talk about the revelation. Of course, on earth during that time, in the Great Tribulation period, we see that when the church was raptured prior to that, we can see that the church is raptured out and now is in heaven with Christ. That's us. The absence of the church during this Great Tribulation period. Now, it doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit's not present, because he's ever present. He's part of the Trinity. But what happens is when the church gets raptured, the influence on the world, people, and governments is gone. We can see evidence of that today as world governments, state, county, right on all the way down, the absence of people with Holy Ghost discernment, let's say it that way, whether they're saved or not, God only knows about some of these people that are in leadership of this world. We have to think that some of the things that are going on, there is no godly discernment in some of these government areas of our world, of our country, around the world. So we see our world is heading toward this Great Tribulation period. The only thing left to happen is the last person gets saved. Personally, I think that'll happen on a Sunday. As time moves around the surface of the earth on Sunday, people are going to church and being saved. But it could be another day of the week. But most likely, when that last person is saved, then we start this journey that we've been following, where we'll be, what we will see, what we will be involved in as the church, as the saved people of the church, the people that Christ died for. So we're following what we're going to be following as we've done this thing and doing the journey. We've went through the marriage supper of the Lamb, and now we're going to move on down to the revelation when Christ starts coming back to the earth. Now, during that Great Tribulation period, we know that Satan has a couple characters that he uses to control things here on earth, that he empowers, that the Bible talks about, and we'll talk a little bit about them here in a minute. But what's going to happen is they gather up their armies. You know, I'm not really wanting to get into the details of all the seals and the things that are opened up during the tribulation period. I still want to stay on track with where we're going to be and what we're going to see. But with the absence of the Holy Spirit influence through people that are saved, now there will be people saved during that tribulation period. We know that the Bible talks about 144,000 of the tribes of Israel wake up and believe that Christ was the Christ, and they start preaching the word, and people are saved and martyred during that time. They won't take the mark of the beast. And all that's going on during that tribulation. We've heard those things taught before, and we could do those maybe later on, but I want to stay on track with what Christ is doing. So Christ is going to come back, and his feet is going to set down on Mount Olives. And what's going to happen is he's going to speak the word, and Satan and his armies are going to be defeated. Now, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Tribulation period is kind of divided into to two. The first 3.5 is bad, but not as bad as the last 3.5. Because God turns loose all these things. The angels open up all these seals and all this stuff starts happening. And it's all about the Jews during that time. God's trying to bring the Jewish nation to the point, bring them to their knees and understand that he was the Christ that they crucified on the cross. So, and what happens in the last 3.5 years, the Jews start to believe. The 144,000 are preaching and teaching Christ on earth. And the Antichrist and Satan's followers, they form up a great army that's going to come down from the north. We've heard all those stories and all the speculation, who it is, what countries it is. And the Bible talks about a 10 federation nations that'll be come together, and they're going to try to completely wipe the nation of Israel off the face of the earth. So that's what Christ is getting ready with us as part of the great multitude of angels and the armies of God on the white horses. We're going to ride in with Christ and be spectators to all that. We're going to be part of that as far as being his bride, as far as being the church. We're going to come back and take over earth. And one of the first things that Christ is going to do is he's going to defeat Satan at the battle of this battle of Armageddon, as it's called. And there's going to be a lot of bloodshed. A lot of things is going to happen that even the Old Testament testifies to. We can go back and look at verses in Psalms and Isaiah, and I'll start right there in Psalms today. I'm going to read some verses out of Psalms there. Let's pray and have God open our hearts and minds and understanding to this. Folks, I know this is, it gets a little heavy, and I try not to get too detailed, but there's just lots of things that we need to think about that's going to happen, and we're going to get to see them with Christ. And we want to use this as a tool, this piece of paper, this information that God's given us in his word, to warn others that are not saved that if they don't get saved, they're going to be on the wrong side of this thing. We as the church are going to be on Christ's side. We're going to be following him on those great white horses dressed in white raiment. So we want to use this information to say, hey, it's time to get saved. We see this world spinning out of control right now. And it could happen any day that Christ could step back in the clouds and call us home in what we call as the rapture of the church, the pre-millennial, pre-tribulation rapture of the church. There's many opinions on that. Mid-tribulation rapture, post-trib. What we believe, what the King James Version says, we don't take anything from it, don't add anything to it. Basically, it says that we'll be raptured out before all this starts. And as we go toward this, we want to have an understanding that anybody that's not saved today, of course, it talks about they will believe the lie of Satan after it happens. They'll be blinded to the gospel. And it'll be too late for them, because we're going to go next week, we'll get down to where we're going to talk about when Christ sets up his kingdom here on earth for 1,000 years. The first thing he's going to do, he's going to do some judgments. And at this Revelation we're looking at here, we're going to see this the throne set up in Jerusalem, and he's going to deal with the people that come through the tribulation period. He's going to deal with the people that get killed during that tribulation period. And we're going to get to see all that. So I think we'll not get there today. We'll get there. And you can see that if you look in the middle of the piece of paper, the Great Tribulation, if you look at the next big circle to the right, it says judgment number 4 of the nations. And what that is, that's judging the nations that come through the tribulation period. Nations in God's word sometimes means nationalities. So, you know, we look at nationalities, we look at, as far as the Bible goes, in talking about nationalities, we have Jews and Gentiles. And then you have saved and unsaved. And all nationalities, red, black, and white, whatever, you fit into one of those categories. You're either saved or not saved. You're either Jew or you're Gentile. And when he sets up this judgment seat in Jerusalem on earth, he's going to look at the Jewish nation. Of course, he's dealing with them mostly through the tribulation period. But he's going to deal with the Antichrist, and we're going to look at that a little bit today. And he's going to deal with the Gentiles that come through, that get saved and get martyred, the ones that come through and didn't get saved, that accepted the mark of the beast. So we'll talk about that. That's coming up. We're going to get to see that. We're going to be there. We're going to be there on earth when this happens. It's hard for us right now to think about these heavenly things because our minds can just only go so far. We don't understand the great details about it and how it's all going to happen. There's quite a bit of details, but there's quite a bit of blanks that God's not give us the information. For some reason, he didn't give us great details on some of these things. Our minds most likely couldn't handle it anyway. But then we'll have our new bodies and a new understanding of the world and who Christ is. A lot of things that physically affect our decisions now, physically affects our emotions, will be gone. We'll have our perfect bodies, saved eternal forever and ever, heading toward eternity with Christ. You know, he just didn't set this up, said, well, you're going to be saved, you're going to come back and live on earth for 1,000 years. He's going to be there with us. Isn't that him? He's always there with us. He's with us now through the Holy Spirit. He's going to physically be there with us. That's who he is. He's here for us. He's going to be there for us. And we're not going to have to do anything. We're just going to have to praise his name and sing glory and hallelujah and watch him take care of business on the devil and his angels and put them where they need to be put because of all the misery they've caused on this earth. Because we know that the Bible says that Satan is the prince and the power of this atmosphere, this air that we breathe. He works inside this realm. And we're going to see God put a stop to that permanently. We're going to get to see all that. And you can go back in Psalms and look at different verses. In Psalms chapter 2, I'll just start there in verse 1. It says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Well, we can see that today. The kings of the earth set themselves and their rulers to take counsel together against the Lord and against the anointing, and saying, let us break their bonds asunder and cast away the cords from us. I mean, we see that going on today. There's nothing, no surprise there. 20, 30 years ago, we think, well, when's this going to happen? Well, we see it happening today in our generation. Pam and I have been talking about old churches and how we used to go to churches and how people used to get together on front porches and play country music and sing songs and praise the Lord and go to church and do that was a big part of everybody's life. We were farming communities and church communities and close-knit working people going to church. Where has that gone? It just seems like it's just disappeared. We see these speakers come into our pulpit and they say, this is a rarity, what we have here. A church that you have Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. It's all fallen away. And some of the little churches that even that Pam went to and I went to are not even there anymore. Praise the Lord, the one that I served in West Virginia is still there. A little independent Baptist church with about 150, 200 people in it. But some of the churches that we always look for churches to go to when we went on vacation and traveled, they're gone. They're not there. And on it goes. So we see that here in Psalms, talking about things that were going on then really applies today, because there's a break in this chapter here at verse 7. There's a break. But the world is saying, let us break our bands asunder and cast away the cords. They don't want nothing to do with God. You know, traditions, Christian traditions, I see today that even people that try to go to church, do they even honor God? What are they going for in some of these churches? I mean, what do you say to somebody that continually shows up in their pajamas and going to church? I mean, I know dress don't make it, but I mean, I was always taught to put a suit and tie on and come to church. My father and my grandfather, and on, where's all that went? There's a generation that knows not what to do right. And here we are. We have the truth. We can say the truth. I know that's not important for salvation, but I like to honor God and come to be right and look right and smell right and act right and talk right. Be a gentleman all the time. This is going down to verse 7 there, and it says, I will declare a decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art the Son, this day have I begotten thee. As for me, I shall give thee the heathen for their inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for their possession, for thy possession. So now this thing changes into the future. Here's God speaking through Psalms about what he's going to do for his son, for the church. And thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, which we see that in Revelations, that sentence, and shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. That's at the end of this tribulation period. We're going to get to see this. That's where we're at. We're at the end of the tribulation period. Be wise now, therefore. Be wise now, therefore. O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. when his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are they that put their trust in him. God tolerates. And how much does he say to forgive? 70 times 70. And forgive and forgive. But the day is coming. The day is coming. When his wrath is kindled but a little. And that's where we're at. That's what we're talking about. We're right at the end of this tribulation period. And God's going to step back in and take care of business. The kings that it was talking about up here in verse 2, if you research that, it's talking about the ten federation kings under the Antichrist. And he talks about shall break them with a rod of iron. And so dash them in pieces as a potter's vessel. Christ is going to step back in with this rod of iron out of his mouth. He just speaks it. And Isaiah says, and they shall come forth with a rod of iron from the stem of Jesse, and the branch shall grow out of his roots. So here's another one in Isaiah saying he's coming. So we have Old Testament. People want to talk about the New Testament a lot, but I like to go back to the Old Testament where it enforces what's being said in Revelations. Revelations is saying these things, but it was said thousands of years before. So we see that a lot of that has already came true. Him riding into Jerusalem, him being crucified, was all prophesied. And this prophecies are talking the Holy Spirit inspiring man to write these things down. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. The knowledge. The understanding of what's going on. I want knowledge, and I want to understand what Christ is getting ready to do. I want to be informed. So when I have conversations, it's amazing to me today in business, people are all talking about, oh, this economy and this and that. And of course, I'm in the energy business talking about how bad that is, the world energy. And people say, well, you know, where's it going? How's it going? I mean, you can start down this path with those folks. And a lot of them will look at you like you don't know what you're talking about. And then a lot of them will say, Yeah, I heard that before. Somebody read that to me before. It's happening, isn't it? I said, it's happening. It's happening right before our eyes. So it's going to give us understanding as we read these things, and understanding of what God's going to do, understanding of where we're going to be when this thing starts happening. And this sharp sword that goeth out of the mouth of this white horse rider that we talked about last week, it is not the sword of the Spirit. It is not the sword of that bringeth salvation, but stands for a spiritual form of destruction that it passes our understanding, and that's why it is a rod out of his mouth. But it's not. Some people get this confused with the blood that was going to be shed. They want to confuse that with the blood on the cross, and it's not that. We know that Christ looked up at his heavenly Father and said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Well, it's not going to be that time. He's not going to look back up to God and say, forgive them. It's going to be a time that this white horse rider, which is going to be Christ, is going to come down on earth. And John saw his vesture that was dipped in blood. Well, whose blood? It wasn't that blood of Calvary. It's going to be the blood of them enemies, the enemies of Christ, the Antichrist and his servants here on earth. And in Isaiah 63:1, it says, who is this that come forth from Edom with dried garments from Bozar? This is the glorious in his appearing, traveling with greatness of strength and speaking in righteousness and mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments are like him that treadeth in the winepress. People, when they got in the winepress, they would gird up their garments, but still yet they would fall down and they would get red and get stained purple and red from making the juice. And they're likening to Christ's garments at that time. This is going to be spiritual warfare on a level that nobody's ever seen. What Christ is going to do to these people that's gathered their armies up against the nation of Israel. And it says in verse 3, he says, this is in Isaiah 63:1. And I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there is none with me. See, he's by himself. He's going to do this by himself. For I tread them in my anger. He's angered but a little. He trampled them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I shall stain all my raiment. So right there's proof of how bad it's going to be. Christ is going to be right in the middle of this battle. And because of what he speaks and how it does, there is no details about it. But he just says the word, and all these armies are destroyed, and blood is shed. Great destruction. It's a day for vengeance. It's a day for taking care of the Antichrist. There was no vengeance. Is there vengeance in Christ? No. He's forgiving and forgives and forgives and forgives. And the Father forgave them because Christ said they trusted what I did on the cross. But these prophets, were telling it is the day of Christ's vengeance on the enemies of God. We have to get that understood, that people say, well, how can a good God kill people or send them to a lake of fire or send them to hell? If you get that in today's world, everybody wants to be good. Oh, everybody's just good. We're just get the God our own way. I mean, you get your way, I'll get my way. You love God the way you want to love God, and I'll love God. No, there's one way. It's through the blood that he shed on the cross, not this blood. In Revelation 14:14, it says, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like the Son of Man, having his head with a golden crown, and his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. It is set in stone, it's set in God's word, that the time is coming to this earth. And he that sat on the cloud thrust his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple with heaven, and also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. These angels are doing business. It only takes one angel that has so much power. So how much more power does Christ have? And we're going to get to see all this. The time has come, and Christ is getting ready to come back down. This great revelation. These allied armies, aligned armies of Antichrist, will cover the whole Palestinian area. There'll be a great slaughter. And it says in the word that it's 1,600 furlongs. That's 200 miles square. There will be so much blood shed, 200 miles square, that the blood is up to the bridle on a horse. Do you believe that? God's word says it. So why shouldn't I believe it? 200 square miles. Can you imagine that? There's going to be so much bloodshed and so many bodies. The word says God prepares the birds to eat the flesh. There's verses in the Old Testament, I'm running out of time to read these things, that talks about the nation of Israel is commanded to go to bury these bones that are left. And then it says if there's anybody traveling that happens to see a bone, let them know about it and they'll bury that bone. I can see that happening as we go into the thousand-year reign. Because that's where we're getting ready. This is the final doom of the beast and the false prophets. And we see here that in verse 19, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his armies. His armies, and we're going to be part of that. We're going to be dressed in raiment on white horses coming with the armies, with the angels. We're going to get to see this. Here we are coming down. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him. Remember back in the tribulation period, this beast and false prophets were deceiving people, killing people, wanting to make the mark on them, which had deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and then that worshiped the image. And both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. We're going to get to see the false prophet and the beast, which is not the devil now. He's empowered these two characters. That's all back in Revelations. I mean, that's all back talking about the seven-year tribulation period. We're not going to get into those details. But those guys were empowered by Satan. He don't kill them guys. They're not slaughtered with the word out of his mouth, with the sword. He grabs them characters, I can just see it now. And I'll talk a little bit more about that next week, but these angels, there's one angel that grabs Satan and puts him into the bottomless pit this time and puts a chain on him. He don't say it's an orange chain. We always think about a chain as something like I use it to farm or something to pull trees down with. It says it's a chain. What kind of chain holds Satan in the bottomless pit? Think about that one. But one angel does that. He grabs these characters and he says, I'm done with you. And he puts them instantly into the lake of fire. Now, where do we see the lake of fire come back? After the thousand-year reign. Look on your paper there. After the thousand-year reign, last thing, it says, judgment number 5, the wicked. the Great White Throne Judgment, there at the very far right on your page. That's where all the wicked dead, the devil's brought back out of the bottomless pit, and they're cast into the lake of fire. But these two characters have done so much damage to the earth and killed so many people that he puts them straight into the lake of fire. Now that's judgment right there. He's taking care of business because he's getting ready to set up the 1,000-year reign here on earth. He's getting rid of this problem. Christ, God, gets to the point to where he's angered just a little bit and he takes care of business. It's getting ready to happen. And we're going to get to see it. Next week, I'm going to stop right here and we're going to talk about the judgment. He judged these two characters. Satan gets judged, puts in the bottom of the pit. Then we've got the goats and the sheep. And we're going to talk about those people that came through Revelation, through the 7-year tribulation period, and talk about what happens to them. And they're going to get judged. There's a judgment seat that's going to go on first thing when Christ sets up back in Jerusalem. We've run out of time. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Lord, help us to use these things to tell folks that they need to be saved now before it's eternally too late. Lord, just give us understanding of this, how it all happens. We don't need to know the great details, but how we're going to get to see it, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that you're going to give us to see it because of what you did on the cross. Lord, we thank you for that shed blood. Give us a good morning. Pray that the pastor speaks the words that someone needs to hear today, that they'll be saved before it's eternally too late. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.